Anybody remember what we've been talking about in the past few weeks? Foundations. Very good. You get an A+. The foundations. And of course, we talked about how if the foundations are not made sufficient to hold the structure, then under pressure or storm, wind, whatever, that the whole building would fall. And it's the same way in the Christian life. If your foundation is not firm and based upon the truth of God's Word, then whenever the storms of life come against you, when pressure comes, then your Christian life will collapse. You won't be able to handle things.
That's right.
So we're talking about foundations. Anybody remember the first one we talked about? Faith righteousness versus works righteousness. One is of man, the other is of God. Which one do we think is a good deal? Right? Everything from God is awesome. And so we choose to deal through faith righteousness, meaning it's a gift to receive His righteousness so that we can stand before our Heavenly Father unashamed, not guilty, pure, righteous, holy, just as Jesus is. We can stand in His presence and love on Him and allow His love to just flow through us continually. How about the next one? What was the other one that we talked about last Sunday? Anybody remember? How about good works and what was the other kind of works?
Dead works.
Dead works. Yeah. So it means exactly like it says. Dead works is something we work up. But good works are what He had predestined us to have in our lives because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And the good works are the things from our life flowing with His power and His Spirit through us to do those things that in the natural we look at those and they can be exactly the same work. But the difference between the dead work and the good work is what? The motivation behind it. In other words, was this something we're trying to impress God to get Him to give us the blessings and rewards? Or is it something that because He's flowing through us doing these things because of who we are in Him? So one is motivated by trying to impress God. The other one is He's flowing through us to have other people impressed with Him. Hopefully that put it simple enough. I've done both. And, I think the good works are better. Amen? And we're going to continue on. This is part three of Foundations. And we'll go back to the scriptures that indicate laying a foundation again. And that's in Hebrews chapter 5 and 12 through chapter 6 and 3. In verse 12 of chapter 5 of Hebrews, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So you see the next one in line there is faith toward God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard messages on faith? How many have heard at least 1,000? And I don't want you to raise your hands, but is it working for you? Every time. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Because every time I say something, he's talking to me. And so when I preach me happy, hopefully you'll get happy too. But faith is a word that a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about. And I'm one of those that I don't have, you know, a corner on everything that God is in me. Not yet, but I want to. But the thing is, I think there's a lot of misleading things, and the word faith has become a religion unto itself. There's a lot of verses that we're going to cover today, and if you're not taking notes, I encourage you to listen to it again, because I want you to develop your own personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because it's all about Him loving us first and reaching out to us because of that love. Because love shares. Love wants the best for another person. Love desires to see that person enjoy life. Have the God kind of life is what it says in the scriptures. Life more abundantly. So, because of what he's saying there, he says each individual in Christ Jesus has been given the opportunity that's called eternal life. John 17:3 says this is life eternal, that you may know the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And that know means to experience, to have an intimate personal relationship with. And it's for not just for now, it's for all eternity. From the time that you name Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, from that time on, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be in you and with you forever and ever and ever. To me, that's comforting. That's really comforting. Mm-hmm. To know that the next thing that I do wrong, that he's not going to abandon me.
Yeah.
See, Jesus was abandoned, so to speak, at the cross, so that we would never be abandoned. It says the Father could not look on him whenever he became sin. Mm-hmm. For us. He didn't sin, but he became sin. He took upon himself all the punishment that we deserved. And then it says that when he died, we died. Yes. When he arose, it says we arose to newness in life in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ then, as him being our Lord and Savior. And so everything from that day forth, whenever you name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything has become new. Because you have become new. You become a new creature or creation in Christ Jesus. And he says, you've been created unto good works. Mm-hmm. So the good works thing is him flowing through us to minister to other people. Sometimes in ways that we don't have a clue what's really going on, but we know that we have this unction, this compassion on the inside of us to go say something to someone or to do something for someone. And it's like it just came out of the blue. Really, it came from inside of you, out of your spirit, man. And it bubbled up and you just overflowed with this desire to do something for this person. And that's him flowing through you to draw this person to himself, to encourage them, to let them know that they're loved. All these different things is because he's working through each one of us to encourage each other. Amen.
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 Yes.
So today we're going to be talking about faith toward God. Now, I want to start with a foundation in the faith toward God message of what is faith, where does it come from, what are some of the quote-unquote definitions. What does it really mean? Because I've heard a lot of different people say a lot of different things, and some of them sounded really good. But some of it was tainted with the old covenant stuff. Well, surely Father Abraham, he believed God, and it was accounted to him as faith. So faith and belief are very, very close to each other. I've separated the two, talking about persuasion. But faith, a lot of times, means trust, right? And so does belief. So they're all mixed together, but it comes, like everything else in the Christian life, it comes from Him. Now, we're going to be talking about faith toward God. And a lot of people say, well, that's differentiated between Jesus. Yes, we relate to them differently, but here's the deal. The Bible says that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And then we've been invited to come into that oneness through Jesus Christ. We're in Him, and therefore in Him, we become one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We sit on the boardroom of the universe because we're in Christ Jesus as believers. So the oneness thing is Jesus is not telling people something different from the Father. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father doing. Now, the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He's been sent, and He's on a mission too. One of them is to lead us into all truth, to show us things to come. The other thing is to provide power in and through us, not only for us, but for other people, to actually empower other people.
Wonderful.
To walk in who they are in Christ Jesus. Signs, wonders, miracles, all these things. Gifts of the Spirit are all flowing through believers. They say, well, I don't know about that. Well, it's just being available. If you're available, what gift does He flow through? Whatever one is needed at the moment.
That's very good.
Amen?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So the Holy Spirit is awesome.
Yes, He is.
The baptism with the Holy Spirit is awesome.
Yes.
And it didn't go away and pass away with the early apostles.
Thank
neither the gift nor the miracles. Amen. But let's turn over to Romans 12. And we're going to start out with something here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, this is Paul talking, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Or the measure of faith, depending on what translation it is. So, we have been given a measure, the measure of faith, by God. So it's a gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where did faith originate?
From God.
Now, think about it in terms of how can we come up with something to receive a supernatural blessing from God in and of ourselves? Is that really possible? Could we work it up enough? Can we say the scriptures enough that regard whatever it is that we feel like we're lacking in order to work it up to get God to release something to us? Has your faith meter pegged out on the other side of strong in faith enough that you can have manifest whatever it is that you've been faithing for? And I've heard all these terms, and I've tried it all. I tried it. Because for me, it wasn't working. And I can't tell you that I'm strong in faith all the time. I can't tell you that everything, whenever I minister, that everyone, you know, is 100% right now that it manifested. But I can tell you this. My walk with the Lord is stronger now than it has been. And that's my prayer for each one of you today. You know, prayer and agreement with other people, that's great.
Yes.
But whenever you're not around anybody else and you don't have a cell phone to get in touch with anybody else and you need something right then from the Lord, then your faith has made you whole. That's what Jesus told people over and over, your faith. Now, what is He talking about there? He's actually talking about the measure of faith that you've been given. Right? Because He's given you His faith.
Your faith and His faith.
You got it. You're way ahead of me, brother. I'm still back here on zero. You're way ahead of me. That's awesome. You've already heard this. That's good. You heard it from the Lord too.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, it's His faith. Now we're going to go through some scriptures, and I'm going to read out of the King James because I think the King James in this particular instance is more literal than some of the other ones. And y'all pick up on this. So let's go over to Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Did y'all notice anything in that passage that just kind of popped out? Hopefully I emphasized it a little bit. The faith of Christ Jesus. The faith of Christ Jesus. And we do have faith in Jesus. But he's talking about here that we're justified not by the works of the law, but the faith of Jesus Christ. The justification and the righteousness that we have today is because Jesus purchased that righteousness for us whenever he acted by faith, that what he did would make us available for the free gift of his righteousness. Does that make sense? Everything that Jesus did in life, everything that he said, everything that he thought was by faith. That's really important. That's a basis for everything that I'm going to say the rest of this message. Jesus only operated by faith. Trust in his Heavenly Father. That everything that his Father was either showing him or telling him, he would do whatever it was. He would follow him. He would mimic him. He would be the exact express image of his Father in any given situation by faith, that it would bring the results that the Father intended. Make sense? They're one. They don't act apart from each other. They're in agreement on everything. So Jesus, as a man, did, thought, and said everything by faith. Okay? So the faith of Jesus is the reason that we're involved today as believers in him. Okay? Now, the next one is Galatians 2:20. Let's go down a few verses. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that we live today, in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It was his faith, remember, that he gave us the measure of. To start out with, it was his faith. And he gave us a measure of that faith in order to believe in him. Now, we talked a little bit about it in the first message about in, of, and for, right? Anybody remember that? So, this is talking about the faith of Christ, how he operated is what brought everything out of the spirit realm available to us as human beings, as people today. It was Jesus' faith that made it available to us. Right? He faith for everything. Now what I mean by that? A lot of people today are still trying to faith for something. They're trying to work it up. Well, I need healing today, so I know I got to work this up in this healing. I got to memorize all the healing scriptures, and I got to quote them night and day. I've got to say them over and over and over again. And then I've got to command and demand and cast out and speak to. And if that don't work, I need to get louder and I need to holler and I need to lay on the floor and whatever I need to do, I got to make this thing work. Now, I'm probably the only one that misunderstood the teaching that resulted in that. Okay?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh.
But if we separate every blessing of God and feel like we have to have faith for that, we'll say, oh, well, I don't have any problem about, prosperity. I got, I got plenty of money. I got a good education. I got a good job. I got a good business. I've got all these other things. You know, prosperity's no big. But the health thing, I had a little problem with that. I got to work up my faith in that area. I've got faith for it over here. But in that area there, I'm a little deficient. So I need to, you know, I need to do more in that area. Because my mindset is I'm having the faith for that. See what I'm saying? Now, what does it say in the Bible about everything that has been done by Christ whenever he said, it is finished?
All things.
Everything. Everything that needed to be done has been done. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus has already been faith for by Jesus. Because it's the faith of Jesus that has made it available to us. I know it's a play on words, but I want you to follow me. He's already faith for everything on our behalf.
Yes.
By his faith, he has made it available to us. And then to make it manifest in our lives, he said, I'm giving you my faith, the measure of faith, in order to make it come to pass in your life to manifest. That measure of faith is what we're using. And it's a gift. Everything that we have is a gift. Let's go with one more. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that reinforces some of the messages that we've already gone through. So by Jesus' faith, he has made everything possible and available to us. And then by faith in Jesus, that everything that we ever will need has already been made available to us by Jesus' faith for those things. By the faith of Jesus, it is ours, part of our inheritance, right? Now, what he's saying is we don't have to have faith for healing, for prosperity, for deliverance, for this, for that. But he's saying you have it all in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So our faith, our belief, our trust in is in Jesus, because Jesus, whenever you have him, you have everything. Make sense?
Amen.
So we use the measure of faith that has been given to us to receive all the blessings that are in Christ by our faith in Jesus' faith. Does that make sense? Now, can anybody use the measure of faith that you've been given, which is the measure of Christ's faith, and believe in Christ that everything that was done by his faith that produced it and made it available for us, and it manifests in our life by our believing, trusting in his faith.
Yes.
Isn't that a whole lot easier than trying to work something up to try to get for something to produce? Anybody in this room can do that, right?
Yes.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Do you think that's what the scriptures are saying? Like Andrew says, how dumb can I be and still breathe? But it's awesome, because he has done it all. He is faith for it. He used supernatural faith to make it available for us. And everything is in him. And so our trust, our belief in, is in Christ alone. And the other things shall manifest. It's whenever we try to separate everything and make it a work, a dead work, trying to work something up, it's whenever it doesn't work for us. And I've got plenty of experience with that. Now, let's go on and look at Ephesians 2:8-9. And I want you to see something a little bit different. I told you we're going through a bunch of scriptures today, because I want you to see that you can go back through these same scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. Okay? Because your personal relationship with Him, your personal revelation, is what is going to cause everything that He is to manifest in your life.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes.
Now you can have the gifts operating, and you can receive some things in your life. But hadn't you rather have his fullness 24/7, 365, whenever you're not around someone that's operating in a gift? Wouldn't it be good? Amen. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them. So here we go again. Well, I've read that. I know what that means. Well, I thought I did too. But the more I read the Word, the more I see that there are layers and layers and layers in it that we can go through. And I used to think, yeah, well, grace, yeah, that's a gift from God. Now, the definition that I've given before in here in the past teachings is divine influence of the heart and its effect in the life. Now, if you look at divine influence, that means what? God's ability. God's ability, which has been given to us to empower us to do His will. It's supernatural ability. Right? So we're using His ability to follow His leading and do His will in the Christian life. That's what grace basically is. So if you look at that, and say, the grace, that's a gift. But it says through faith. Grace through faith.
That's good.
So I'm just saying, the grace, the gift, the ability, and then he says that you've been saved. Now that word saved is a package, right? All the blessings of God are in that word saved. And I put it in, let's see if I still got it. I wrote down some of the meanings of that word saved, and I had it in my Bible here for a while. There was a whole list of all these different things. Oh, here it is. To deliver, protect, to heal, preserve, to save self, do well, be or make whole. In that package of being saved, you can put anything that we think that we have a deficit in there, and it says that it's already been included in the package. So we've been saved by grace, His ability given to us to allow us to operate with His ability. Now, that ability here is through faith. So His faith has been given to us. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes.
He's given us His grace, His ability, through His faith to receive everything that He's already given to us. It's all about what He's already done. We're just participating in it. Now, did men bring anything to the table in this? And he says that the result would be good works, right? We're His workmanship. We're tools that have an intimate personal relationship with Him, but we're really a tool on this earth. His hands, His feet, His mouth. He says, the works that I began, I want you to complete. I have empowered you to complete everything that I started. Whew. I don't know about you, but that's a big mission. But he says, I'm not gonna have you have to work it up. I'm just gonna give you everything that you need. And if you're willing to do the good works, which is the works that He's empowered, then it's effortless. Because it's none of you and all of me through you. I done preached me happy. Boy, this is... Oh, man. Okay. Now we're going to see how faith works. This gift that we have received from Him. Right? All right. Let's go over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. I hope I can get this finished without going off. Oh, man. Okay, everybody else is there. I'm the last one. I believe that. All right. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Here we go again. Whose faith is it?
Jesus'
faith that He gave us to receive His gift of grace with, to receive the relationship with, to receive the inheritance with, and everything else, because we're faithing in His faith. We're trusting in His faith that has already gotten the job done because He said, it's finished. It's all available to us, right? It's a free gift. Now, what He's saying here is it that the faith that we've been given, the measure of faith, works through love. I can't stand. Oh, man, He's so good. Y'all are way ahead of me. I encourage you to go back and listen to a message that I did, I think it was last fall, on first principles. God is love. And you know where the scriptures we're going to next, right? 1 John 4. Okay, let's flip over there. I'm laying the groundwork here. Y'all are going to complete it at home, though. Oh, 1 John 4. And, of course, he's one of my favorite disciples because he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a revelation of it. In verse 8, 1 John 4, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Go down to 16, and this is a really important verse. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, in here he says that he loved us first. Everything we've talked about today about faith toward God originated with God. It's originated with Him, and it's a gift by Him to us to receive everything that He is. Are you following me? He's awesome. Now, in verse 16 here, it says that we have known, and then the Apostle John says, and believed the love that God has for us. So here's that word believe again, trust in. Now, it says faith works by love. It's energized by love. It becomes effective or effectual by love. Now, I used to think that I had to love people in order for my faith to work because I was taught that in different places. Is that really what it's saying? Mm-mm. He's saying here, know and believe the love that God has for us is how His faith works that He gave me to receive everything that He is and has given to me. Make sense? So, I was stuck for a long time on we have known the love that God has for us. Yeah, I know about it. Yeah, God's love. Sure, everybody knows that. And then after that would come the but. But how about in the Old Testament? How about all those people that got swallowed up by the earth and, you know, fire came down out of heaven and made crispy critters out of them? Where's love in that? All these things would go through my mind. How can God be love? Well, one way you can do it, and this is how I started out. Those things I'm not sure about. But I am sure whenever it says that Jesus came to perfectly represent the Father and reveal Him to us, that if I looked at Jesus, then I would see what love is. Did Jesus send down fire on anybody?
No.
Did He rebuke the disciples for saying that? Did Jesus kill anybody? Did Jesus give anybody disease?
No.
Did Jesus love everybody?
Yes.
Did he treat them courteously except for the Pharisees? And there was a reason why he did that. He was trying to get their attention. He was really operating in love there because he loved them enough to tell them, hey, you're going down the wrong road. This path ends in destruction. You need to get over here. If you love somebody and you know that the bridge is washed out, you don't let them come past you and just keep right on going. You flag them down and try to stop them. That's what he was doing because he loved them. So his heart was toward those people that really despised him because they were so busy trying to work it up on their own to earn God's favor. He says, well, they search the scriptures daily to see, you know. He said, I'm standing in front of you. I am the Word. And they kept right on going to destruction, many of them. Some of them did change. But not only just knowing about God's love, but it says, and have believed, trusting in. Trust everything that you are, that my Abba Father loves me, and everything He does toward me, and has and will ever do toward me or think about me, is for one reason, and one reason only. He is love. Is He righteous? Is He holy? Yes, He's all those things. But it says that He is love. And that is the basis for the faith working. Because He is love, and He will never do anything to destroy you or harm you. And in the fact of Him loving you, it also means that He's not going to hurt anybody else around you or take anything from them to love you. Does that make sense? Because He loves them just as much as He loves you. Yeah, I encourage you to go back and listen to that one and get a basis of love. Okay, let's go look at Ephesians 3. Now, this is a prayer many people have prayed on a number of occasions, and I pray it for myself. It is a Spirit-inspired prayer. And we want to look at it today in the light of this message to see what he's really emphasizing. Verse 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. His prayer here is that we would have a revelation of His love, to experience His love, to experience Him because He is love. And what is the result of being filled with His love, to know and experience it, to have that intimate personal relationship with Him? What is the result of that? That we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it says, as a result of being filled with all the fullness of God, to be able to operate like Him in every situation, to be Jesus on this earth, literally. That's what he's saying. To operate by faith. It says, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How does that power work in us? By faith. By trusting, believing in Him, because you cannot trust anyone until you know how much they love you. Because love does not harm people. In the natural, you develop a relationship with a person, and once you have that revelation that they really care for you, and push come down to shove, if it's between you and them, they choose you because they want you blessed more than them. That's love. That's our Heavenly Father. He wants you blessed above everything. He wants you to enjoy the God kind of life, the life more abundantly that it talks about in John 10:10. It honors Him and glorifies Him and makes Him happy whenever we receive every bit of our inheritance that Jesus went to the cross and suffered for in order to give it to us. Whenever we receive from Him, it makes Him joyful because He sees us exactly the same in spirit as He sees Jesus because we have the same spirit. And whenever we're enjoying Him, then all these things it says, we're filled with all the fullness of God because we have received His love. It's become a reality to us. And we can open ourselves up to Him and not fear Him as in fear that He'll do something wrong toward us or we become crispy critters or open up the earth or whatever. But everything that He has toward us are good thoughts of great things to come and that are now. And He says that you can't even imagine all the good things that He has planned for you, that are available for you, that you can access. But He says, laying the groundwork, knowing how much I love you, is the basis for everything from that. I know I'm going on kind of long, but we're going to finish with this. Because I want you to go and as one of the people in the Bible study said, I got to chew on that. I want you to go home and chew your cud on this and look at the verses and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let's go to Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We could spend days, maybe months on just that one verse. But he's calling him here, the Apostle Paul, the God of hope. And what is hope? Positive expectation of good. And why can you say that now? Because love, knowing that your Abba Father is love, and His designs for you are all awesome. And the things that He has for you have already been done in Christ Jesus, and He's made it all available to you. And the way that you receive it is, first off, having that revelation of His love for you and allows the faith that He's placed in you to receive everything that He is. So you've got Him, so you have everything else as far as health and prosperity. You have His health. You have His prosperity. You have His deliverance. You have His ability to love other people with His love. To draw men to Him through yourself. To be Christ on this earth. His arms, His legs, His mouth. He's given you that ability to do that. And it's His power flowing through you that causes all those good works to happen. So he's saying here, this God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So the believing that you're doing is what? It's in Christ, in Jesus, faith that made it all happen just for you. Which is simple. The faith that He gave you with is to receive all the blessings that His faith has provided. Oh, you may abound. That word abound there is awesome. In hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was given the power, right? And you can abound in that hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Just like everything else we've talked about today, it's a gift from Him to us personally. We have an option. We can receive the gift and appreciate it and use the gift. Or we can say, I don't deserve that. Or even, I don't believe that. I'm not going to trust that. So ultimately, the decision is up to you. But He's already extended everything and given you everything that He is to receive everything that He is. And I'm talking to me too. So I've got a ways to grow also. But isn't it exciting? That hope just comes alive inside of you. The positive expectation of good from knowing that everything that I have is a gift from Him. And the gifts that He's given me is to receive other great things. All I got to do is just receive them and trust in Him through knowing that He loves me unconditionally. Joy and peace are the byproduct of it, right? Now, we have been given the ability to imagine. I was asked this morning, well, did you go to the beach? I said, I went there several times in my mind. And that's what we've been given the ability to do, is to imagine all these other things whenever our physical bodies are here. But our mind is someplace else sometimes. And the imagination is very powerful. But the imagination can be very powerful in a negative way, or it can be very powerful in a biblical way of seeing those things that are not as though they are. In the spirit realm, everything has been given to us in Christ Jesus that we'll ever even possibly even need or think. Is what the Bible says. We just read that. But if we use our imagination to get over into things that we don't want, and the things that, well, if this happened, then we extrapolate in our minds to, well, that means that this will happen and that will happen, and oh no, I lost my house, I lost my car. All this happens, somebody's going to die, and on and on and on. We can use it in the negative vein. Those are vain imaginations. And it becomes unbelief. Now, whenever I say unbelief, do I mean that belief in un? I'm picking at you. Unbelief is whenever we believe something, it becomes something in our heart that we are associated with that says that, well, this is how things are. And this is the outcome of how they are. And we make an untruth part of our belief system. That's why it's so important that we go back and look at these scriptures again and see the basis for faith or trust in our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, because the outcome there, He says He's the God of hope. Hope means positive expectation of good. It means there's a great outcome. The other direction, those vain imaginations are sending you in a direction that says, oh no, we're not going to have a good outcome here. I mean, the sinking ship, death, that's where it's leading to. So we have been given the choice. We can either have our imagination set on truth of who we are in Christ, that identity that we talk about all the time in here, of everything good that our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy, that it pleases Him for us to receive everything that He is in Christ Jesus, to enjoy the God kind of life, to enjoy that abundant life that He talks about over and over, to be above things, instead of down under the circumstances that a lot of people talk about. We were never meant to be under the circumstances. Because he says that we're more than conquerors in Christ, that we have his victory in every situation. So, in our imaginations, are we allowing the circumstances that look like they're sour, going in the wrong direction, to take hold of our imagination and run out those things into the negative? Oh no. Or do we look at the circumstances, that doesn't define me. That's not from God. Because he desires only my good. My daddy loves me and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to look at what he's provided me, and that's what my imagination is going to be. That's what I'm going to feed my heart with. Is his word says that I am more than a conqueror. So this little thing, just like the King David, whenever he was facing Goliath, he wasn't a king yet, but God had prepared his heart. He says, okay, God gave me the ability to slew the bear, to slew the lion. Philistine's no big deal. He doesn't even have a covenant. I've got a covenant with my Heavenly Father. I'll just chop off his head and carry it around. And everybody's going to flee. I already have the victory. All I got to just go out there and cut his head off. No big deal. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now all these other people, these warriors, these guys that are trained for battle and everything, we're talking about a shepherd boy. These other guys are supposed to be experienced warriors. They're all afraid of the giant. He's challenged them saying, if I win, then our armies are going to come in and take everybody. But if you win, then we'll all surrender. They were afraid. But here's a shepherd boy that knows who he is in the Lord, that is trusting in this covenant that says, I am your God and you are my people, and I will protect you and I'll make you a victor in every situation. He believed what he said. And he went out boldly against Goliath. And he did. He hit him right here with the rock. And whenever he fell down, he took his own sword and cut his head off. And all the rest of the Philistines fled. See, he saw the victory. He imagined the victory in his belief system first before he ever took the first step. His imagination was godly. His imagination did not defeat his heart and make his heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick is what the Old Testament says. So his hope was made alive because he knew that the person that gave him that hope was able to fulfill everything that he was imagining because he'd already given him his word. You are the victor. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's look at one last verse. Well, two verses. Let's go to Mark 11, 22 and 23. Finally got there. Says verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now I know a lot of people, including myself in the past, have done commanding, demanding, shouting, you know, telling this, that, and the other to go, and I bind you and loose you and all these other things. And those being used properly are fine. But notice what it says. There's a heart thing and a mouth thing. And what does it say? Believe in your heart. And not doubt in your heart. I'm just going to be blunt. If we're fearing about the outcome, that's not belief. Mm-hmm. That's unbelief. Okay? If you're saying things and trying to make things happen by demanding, commanding, speaking to the mountain, telling it be gone, it didn't hear you, got louder, there's a heart situation going on. Now, this is between you and the Lord. What you're actually imagining inside of your heart, that's what's going to happen. If you have vain imaginations in your heart, he's calling it doubt in your heart. Doubt is just anything that's not in line with God's promises. What he's already said that you have, what you can do, who you are in Christ Jesus. If it's anything other than that, that's unbelief. And unbelief is not going to produce what our Heavenly Father has provided for us. He said, I've given you my faith to use to receive what I've given you. So if you see that your imaginations are going awry, then it's okay to speak the Word of God, but don't expect anything to happen at that time. That's called meditation. Okay? Meditate on His Word. Have the Holy Spirit and ask Him to reveal to you, you personally, how this scripture, these scriptures that we've read today, how they apply to you personally. And how you don't have to go into, well, I've said these things before. I thought that I was on track. I thought I was believing, but it didn't happen. And here I've got this situation again. I'm just afraid that I'll look like an idiot if I step out and speak, you know, what I think that I should speak to it and make it go. Because I don't know, it just didn't happen before. And you bring up all these old things that didn't happen. That's unbelief. He says that you are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Each situation is a new situation. And it doesn't have to be plagued or tainted or made a different thing by looking back in the past and see, well, did it happen in the past? Did it overcome? Or did, you know, all these things start going through your mind. You don't have to go there. You can repeat to yourself, my faith that He's given me is in Jesus' faith that it's already done on my behalf because He loves me. Mm-hmm. My daddy loves me, and so it's mine. Yes. Whatever it is, it's mine, and I don't have to accept this other junk, no matter what it's telling me. Because my daddy is more powerful than any of this stuff. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Every situation, every circumstance, yes. He has overcome them all in Christ Jesus. Do you think the person that walks on water knows what's happening? Can deal with your little situation that you think is monstrous? I'll give you another little hint, and I learned this the hard way too. The things that we dwell on over and over and over, run these things through our mind. Did you know that each time you run it through your mind, it actually gives strength to it? Did you know that it actually enlarges itself in your mind each time that you go over it and over it? You control that camera and that video player. You control it. One recommendation is shut the thing off. Change the channel. Don't view that mess anymore because you're hurting yourself. You can play the God channel. Just change the switch channels, play the God channel. What did Christ say about this? What did He say in this situation? How did He handle it? He strengthened himself in the Lord. He remembered his daddy loved him. And he says, no big deal. I've already got the victory. So it's Christ's problem, not yours. Did you hear me? It's Christ's problem. It's not yours. And He has already defeated that situation for you.
Yes.
By trusting in His faith that has already worked on your behalf, you're saying, I trust in you and you alone. I can't work it up. I don't have anything to come against this. And I trust in you to handle it. I'm not going to do a dead work, but I'm going to do a good work because I'm allowing His Himself to flow through me to give me the solution that I cannot come up with on my own. And it'll be an awesome thing, a testimony to the goodness of God. And strengthen yourself in that. Okay, and I'm going to end up with just a few questions. Are we choosing today to believe our heart established in our identity in Christ? Or are we choosing to believe the circumstances? Today, is your faith in Jesus' faith? Or is it in your own ability to come up with something to believe? Have you known and believed His love for you today? And the last one is, are your imaginations building hope in you, in your heart, or are they building fear in your heart? And only you can answer these questions, but they're real questions that need to be answered. You already know the answers to them, but you need your own personal revelation that can come by the Holy Spirit. And whenever He's involved in it, you're going to operate in truth and power in every situation.